while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'll stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Welcome all to the Tiny Gospel Radio Hour, brought to you live from Poolsville Presbyterian Church, deep in the heart of Montgomery County, Maryland's Agricultural Reserve. I'm the Reverend Dr. David Williams, and I'll be your host and pastor for the next little while. For those of you who are watching us live, we're doing something a little bit different for this Palm Sunday. We are avoiding looking at me and my completely out-of-control hair. I might get to that a little bit later, just so you can have a peek. And what we're going to be doing the next couple weeks is setting out worship dioramas, a lovely little way of remembering what season it is, because right now it is Palm Sunday. And those of you who stopped by the church to pick up palms, which were set out neatly and separately, so you may have been able to pick up a pile of these, here they are. If you don't have palms and you haven't gone outside to take a cutting, well, just wave your hands around in the air, because even we Presbyterians can do that now and again. What we're doing this Sunday is enjoying the smallness. We're all feeling a little closed in right now, probably, but the great big things of our world aren't really standing in the same way. Our great big stores are closed, our big parking lots are empty, and the great big shiny things we thought were so sturdy maybe aren't doing so hot. So our choice, why don't we go small together a little while? Cozy on up in our virtual small church and do the tiny gospel thing together. As we prepare our hearts for worship, let's listen to our tiny church tone chimes. I always look forward to the the tone chimes. And before we get into our announcements, let's listen to the tone chimes playing Wondrous Love. Let's give it a listen. Presbyterian Church tone chimes, reminding us that as challenging as it is to do things together, if you can pull off tone chimes, well, you can do just about anything. So we're gracious for and grateful for that lovely sound this morning. As we proceed our way into getting ready for worship, let's remember that this is Holy Week, and we've got a batch of different things going on. All of you should be on our email list, receiving your announcements via email so that you can keep track of what we're doing together in this interesting and challenging time. But for Holy Week, we've got a batch of things happening. Just to highlight a few, on Wednesday evening, we will have a virtual musical meditation, which folks have been invited to, and our musical director, Monica Daly, will be pulling that together at 7:30 p.m. on Facebook. There's an email that's gone around with that address, and we'll endeavor to have that up on our Facebook page just to make sure folks have that in hand before we get to Wednesday. It'll be opportunity to just sit and pray and meditate and reflect on this season and on the goodness of life in this time. Then on Thursday, on April 9th, it's Maundy Thursday. And our Maundy Thursday service is going to be at 7 p.m. Obviously, this is the service in which we share together in Holy Communion, which is a little more challenging these days. There are a couple of different ways you can do that with us this year. We have, this last week, set out prepackaged sterile communion cups with attached wafer sealed in plastic, which we purchased a while back, that are available for pickup. We had them set out yesterday, and also on Wednesday, we'll have them set out in front of the church between 2 and 5 p.m. You can come and pick up as many as you need. If you are concerned about contamination or are uncomfortable picking up from the church or feel you really shouldn't get out, if you have bread or a bread equivalent, if you have wine or juice available, just have a cup of that available that we might eat or drink together. The service will have music and prayer and a time where we can all partake of the Lord's Supper together, and we'll be doing that right here on Facebook Live at 7 on Thursday. And I'd expect that to last about 20 minutes. Then for Good Friday, our service is going to be, surprise, surprise, at 7 p.m. on Facebook Live, and we're in the midst of preparing for that. Then for Easter, we'll have our service at our normal service time at 10:30 a.m. on Facebook Live. So join us here for those things, and keep an eye on your email for updates as the week progresses. That's where we are. If there are announcements that you'd like to share, feel free to email them to me at belovedspear@gmail.com or to the church's email address, which is available at the church website, which is poolprez.com. And keep your eyes open for that over the course of this week. Now let's settle in for a little bit more music as we move into this time of worship and reflection. We're going to be listening to a song entitled, I Would Rather Have Jesus. And singing it for us will be Willie Nelson. Let's give that a listen. Thank you.
brother, have Jesus and silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
That was Willie Nelson singing for us, "I Would Rather Have Jesus," which is nice to hear from good brother Willie. Let's take a moment now to ground ourselves in prayer, especially as in this time we find ourselves struggling with that rather most basic human instinct, the desire to be on top, to do better than others, to succeed where others have not. Because right now, in this time, what we don't need is that spirit. We don't need a spirit of triumph over our neighbors. We don't need to feel like we are more right than others. We need to feel more gracious, more compassionate, and more present for each other. And so as we recognize that sometimes our yearning for battle, our yearning to win, can set heavy on God's efforts to grow grace in us, well, let's acknowledge maybe sometimes we're too earnestly focused on winning and not enough on giving the care we need to one another. So let's, in acknowledgement of that basic human challenge that rests in all of our souls, let's go to God together in prayer right now, using a prayer of confession. Let's listen for it as it speaks to our hearts. Gracious and almighty God, we like to win. We particularly enjoy knowing that we're going to do better than those we dislike or those who have opposed us. We want to be assured that we're going to be victorious over them because we remember every slight and every offense they have given to us. Yet in feeling this violent spirit in our hearts, we show we don't really grasp the form of victory Jesus taught. In our yearning for the win, we show we don't understand what he is trying to work in us. Help us to find his grace. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Now listen, all of us, to the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep us in eternal life. Amen. Now, it's Palm Sunday. Sunday we remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on. And so for that, we're going to give a little listen to something a tiny bit different than Willie Nelson. We're going to listen to powerful operatic soprano Jessie Norman singing for us in live performance, Ride On King Jesus. Let's give her voice a listen.
Here.
That was Right On Cue Jesus by Jesse Norman. We are grateful to this time and to the miracle of being able to share music with one another, to the opportunity to listen to Ms. Norman sing. I think if we'd you ever watched her sing, I am reasonably sure, had she ever been planted in our little congregation, she would have blown the windows clean out. So we're grateful for this mediating structure to let us hear her sing that for us. Now, let's set down a little bit and listen for God's word as we hear it in Scripture. We're going to listen to Elder Lisa Roberts-Kozer as she gives us our first two scriptures for the day. Let's listen now for God's word.
Our Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 through 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? And from the book of Psalm, chapter 31, verses 9 through 16. Normally we would read this responsively, but that's kind of tough to do now. But in the privacy of your own home, if you would like to read aloud, that's great. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief. My soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
We've listened for God's word in Scripture, and now we're going to listen as the Poolsville Presbyterian Church Choir, which is streaming towards a tiny little sanctuary in our minds, sings for us, O Mortal Man. The Poolsville Presbyterian Church Choir.
Thank you.
Poolsville Presbyterian Church Choir singing, O Mortal Man. And it is a blessing for all of us mortals to find ways that we can sing and knit harmonies together in this time. Let's now open our hearts and our minds again to the hearing of God's Word in Scripture. Our third Scripture reading today is drawn from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Let's listen together for God's holy word. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you anything, just say this, The Lord needs them. And he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, Let the daughter of Zion look, your king is coming to you humble, and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the tree. And spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, Who is this? The crowds were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was summer and I was young. And my family was at the beach up at Fire Island in New York. And I was reading. And I'd had to find a new book because I had blown through the books I had brought with me. And then I'd listened to all of the cassettes I'd brought with me to play on my little Toshiba portable player. And I'd listened to them and listened to them. And I needed to get back into books. And I needed something more to read. And this was a beach rental house, and that meant that there were beach rental house books sitting up on the shelves. These were not recent books. Neither were they good books. They were books that the owner of that rental probably didn't want people to know that they owned. Old pulp novels, cheesy formulaic westerns, and cheesy, even more formulaic romances. Being a teenage boy, I steered away from the romances and went with a book that had a great manly bull of a man with clenched fists and their shirt ripped in the finest Bill Shatner style right there on the cover, a book of adventure with a rather obvious title when it comes to adventure stuff. The book I read was Doc Savage, The Man of Bronze. And when I read that book, what I discovered, to my delight, was that it was absolutely, completely, deliciously terrible. I was a young teen, and reading the pulp book, Doc Savage, The Man of Bronze, was actually, as a writer, the first time I realized that there was no reason in the world I couldn't be a successful author. Because if Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze, could get published, then Lord knows I could get published. It was not just that it had a goofy plot. It was not just the extremely silly characters. It also wasn't the author's tendency to use overwrought and occasionally completely inappropriate language, or the tendency of the author to use exclamation marks to describe everything, because it was all so exciting. It was that every single time Doc Savage was described, the vocabulary used to describe him was exactly the same. We would hear over and over again that he had wide, very strong-looking teeth. Because nothing makes a hero like wide, strong-looking teeth. We would hear that he was stronger than a gorilla. How strong was he? It would ask 5 pages later. He was stronger than a gorilla. A gorilla was not as strong as he, nor did a gorilla have teeth as wide and very strong-looking. Doc Savage, the man of bronze, had eyes that were gold, and his skin was perfectly bronze, and no matter where he was or what he did, the book would let you know that his golden eyes were looking on above his very wide, very bronze, very strong-looking body that was stronger than a gorilla, and he had very strong-looking teeth. To be entirely honest, I enjoyed that book immensely. It's a mark of a successful book that it sticks with you for decades, so I guess that makes it a successful book. But the challenge in life as we approach things is that it helps to have more than one way of describing things, more than one way of understanding the world, because if we get stuck in one, only one metaphor, we often limit ourselves. We often are so trapped in that language that we fail to see the actual reality we're encountering. And I've been struggling these last few days, these last couple of weeks, with the idea that what we're living through right now is best described as a war. War is the metaphor we go to, but war is a very particular thing. And even if it is our culture's go-to image for everything, sometimes it doesn't work, because we know that anytime we're challenged, it's war. Anytime we're asked to cope with something, it's war. And we certainly do war as a society. But as a way of understanding everything, sometimes it falls short. If you want to run a republic, free and fair as a democracy, describing everything as a war internally makes it hard for us to get along with each other. In a legal system, does war work? Must everything be always in opposition? Falling back on that one way of understanding things sometimes causes more harm than good. It creates a sense of adversarial relation that doesn't occasionally need to exist. Like we think where that image has been used. Back in the last century, the war on poverty. Well, folks are still poor. Or the war on drugs from when I was growing up, well, that didn't really resolve things either. In little congregations, there have been many wars about the color of the new church carpet, and we all know where that goes. And as we face these kinds of struggles now, what about the war to educate our children in their homes now, which, I mean, for those of you with younger children, I'm sure it does feel like a war now and again. War has its limits as an image. And it's certainly how we human beings, over the centuries, over the millennia, have forced each other to do things. But as much as it is a part of our struggle, war doesn't work so well against the powers of creation. War on a hurricane. War on a tornado. Warring with the world around us can be a challenge, as the tools and implements of war aren't of much use in this time. The greatest mark of America's military might has always been our ability to project air power. And this week we watched as a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier really wasn't much help when pandemic came knocking. War is a part of our vocabulary, but I wonder if it's the right and only language for this time we're living through. Because relating to each other through coercive power may not be the answer to all things. It is that way of human relating, that understanding of what power means, that rests at the heart of a great error in Palm Sunday, where we find ourselves today. This fundamental misunderstanding of the kind of power that Jesus brings. If you've been to a Palm Sunday service before, or if you learned this story as a child, you have probably the same mental image in your head. As we heard from Matthew's gospel today, there is Jesus riding into town on a donkey. Here he is. Riding on a donkey. We have people waving their palms in the air as he comes through the gates of the city, and everyone's hosannaing to Jesus. That is a story we get in the Gospels. But it isn't necessarily the exact story we've just heard, not if we listen to it closely. Matthew, earnest, eager, and passionate about finding connections between everything Jesus ever did and the stories from the Torah and the prophets, makes a point of telling us this tale a tiny bit differently. He makes sure we hear a quotation about the arrival of the Messiah from the prophet Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, the vision of the arrival on not just a donkey, but a donkey and a colt. Hebrew poetry doubles everything up when it wants to emphasize something. It doesn't just say something once if it wants you to hear it. It makes sure that it says it again to make sure you haven't missed it the first time. My kids and my wife have to do that with me all the time when they want my attention. That's sort of a running joke in the house. Dad, someone will call. Hey, Dad, someone will call louder. And then, Dad, they'll yell. And I'll say, what? You're sitting right next to me. You don't have to yell. Sometimes we do have to repeat ourselves, though. And that's what Zechariah does. And that's what we hear mirrored in Matthew today, re-emphasizing donkey and colt. And what's being emphasized is that the mounts they were on were humble. A small, mild, non-threatening beast of burden times two. Not the noble steed of a mighty king, but another kind of creature entirely. This image always makes me think of the movie Aladdin, if you've seen that. Prince Ali's arrival in the animated version, which is the only best and single one that we must watch. Jesus arrives humbly, not with 95 white Persian monkeys, which to view he charges no fee. He comes in on a humble mount, chosen for humble purposes. As the story tells it, everyone in Jerusalem thinks that the arrival of Jesus means triumph, that it would finally speak to them, finding their place in the world where they would have power, because the world had been harsh to the people of Judah as they were crushed under the thumbs of imperial oppressors, and they were looking eagerly for a savior, the Mashiach, the anointed one, the king who would come and set the whole world right again, but with the sword, with power, with holy war. But from atop that donkey, Jesus knew that what he was bringing was very different. He knew, as the crowds and his disciples did not yet realize, what his arrival meant. It did not mean the crushing and humiliating military defeat of Herod and Rome. It did not mean angelic armies or God showing up with face-melting death beams like at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, smiting the infidels with a big smiting. Jesus saw, which his listeners did not, the Jerusalem itself and the power struggles around it meant nothing, because that power, that form of power, meant nothing to him. What Jesus proclaimed wasn't about one group dominating another. He was not there to give the Judeans martial victory over their oppressors. He was not bringing them the thing they were cheering for. What Jesus had been teaching was different, and what he saw was different. Jesus saw redemption and love and the path of compassion. And in the cheering of that crowd, in their yearning for martial victory, they missed it. They didn't understand that what he brought was reconciliation and hope, not just for them, but he also intended to restore those who opposed them, a message of grace meant for everyone. And to be honest, we still struggle with this. We struggle with this as we look out to those who have been in opposition to us and see them struggling. Looking to the people who are on another side and wondering if perhaps this time of trial is resting on them harder out of some rage of the divine. That is not the spirit Jesus asks us to carry in this time. Our task, if we take what Jesus taught us seriously, is not to hope ill on our enemies ever. It is not to yearn to prosper while they suffer. It is not to yearn for their routing, but to find a way to love them as fully as God loves all of us. We are in a sacred season this Holy Week. We are in a time where we should allow ourselves to be challenged by the gospel, as we are together challenged in a way we have not been in generations. And then to let that spirit of God's grace carry with us out into our struggling, fractious, warlike, yearning world. Carry that grace with you. Enter that city with his spirit. And let that be so for you and for me. Amen. As we reflect on that scripture, as we reflect on God's yearning for us to journey in the way of peace in all of our lives, let's sit and listen to a song about a traveler on a journey. The Lord knows we are feeling worn now, so let's listen to the Carty family back from the 1930s singing us The Way-Worn Traveler.
I saw a way-worn traveler in tattered garments clad, and struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone. It shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. The sun was shining, the sweat was on his brow, his garments worn and dusty, his steps seemed very slow. But he kept pressing onward, for he was wending home, still shouting as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. songsters in the arbor that stood beside the way attracted his attention, inviting his delay. His watchword being onward, he stopped his ears and ran, still shouting as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. While gazing on that city, just o'er that narrow flood, a band of holy angels came from the throne of God. They bore him on their pinions, they bore the dashing foam, and joined him in his triumph, deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear.
That was the Carter family singing for us, The Wayworn Traveler. As I remind us each week, this community continues, and we continue our mission in community by and through your support. So I'd encourage you, if you have a few moments, either during the service or afterwards, to go to www.poolpres.com, and at the bottom of the page, there's a place you can sign up for regular donations, because we need that to continue doing what we're doing. Alternately, recognizing that regular giving can be a little bit of a challenge when we're not exactly sure how much we've got or when things are coming. We are continuing to do what the state of Maryland calls minimal operations, and that includes checking our mail. So you can send your check via mail to Poolsville Presbyterian Church, Post Office Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland, 20837. That's Poolsville Presbyterian Church, P.O. Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland, 20837. Let's now open ourselves to hearing a little bit more music about a journey into Jerusalem. Walk in Jerusalem, we will listen to, and that is being sung for us by Gospel Queen Mahalia Jackson. So let's listen to Dear Miss Jackson singing us Walk in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, talking to Jerusalem, singing to Jerusalem, being Jerusalem, high up, oh, in Jerusalem, when I die, oh, in Jerusalem, singing to Jerusalem, shouting to Jerusalem, praying to Jerusalem, high up, oh, in Jerusalem, when I die. Get down to the river, I'm gonna stick my sword in the sand. Five eyes by the old ship of Zion, she took a minute to the promised land. Way over in Beulah, a bad no die there. Where the saints shout in victory, oh, they're singing all everywhere. Way over in Beulah, I have a voice of friends I've known. They've been gone, not gone on to glory. Well, well, long time ago. They've been waiting, they've been watching, they've been waiting at the beautiful day. And one day I'm gonna meet them. Oh, I'm gonna sing forevermore. Well, over in Beulah, I see the captain beckon to me.
Isaiah Jackson walking us into Jerusalem. And as we walk in, we remember that prayer is central to us, is a vital part of who we are. So as we gather together today, let's prepare ourselves to praise and to pray and to be part of worship together. So let's go to God right now in prayer. Gracious God, as a community, we come to you in this time of trial, remembering those among us who are in need, remembering a nation and a world that is in a time of crisis and struggle. Today, Lord, we pray for that world and this nation as we together work our way through this terrible pandemic. We ask your blessing on all of our leaders everywhere, that they might show wisdom, that they might be called to guidance, that they might find the best possible path on this challenging journey. We also, gracious Lord, pray for all of those who are on the front lines of this crisis, who are standing together, working to heal, working to comfort, working to make whole, for all the doctors and the nurses and the researchers. Lord, we ask for their strength. We ask that you bless them and that you guide their hands and that you fill them with the goodness of your Spirit so that they might know the journey they are taking and its value. Gracious God, closer to home, there are so many among us who have need. We pray for those who are depressed and anxious. We pray for those dealing with health issues that predate this time, that they live with every day. We pray for those who are struggling through addiction in this challenging time. We pray for those who are working to recover from the blight of illness, for Bill and for Jackie, for Miss Edwards and for Kim, for Elise and for Sal, for Susan and Neil, for Gary and Jan, for Roy and Annie, for Walt Donaldson, for Nolan, for Wid, for Wendy, for Sue and for Pat and her husband Stan, and for Lynn. Lord, we especially pray for those who are affected by the coronavirus in this time, for those who are all around the world trying to live through this period of struggle. And for those hospitalized close to home, we pray especially this morning for Ross Kozer, who is hospitalized right now. We pray for his recovery. We give thanks that this morning was easier than last, and we continue to bathe him and the whole Kozer family, all of his loved ones, and Lisa, and all of us who love him in this time of personal challenge. Our prayers go out. Take care of him, Lord. Lord God, we pray also in celebration, remembering that even in this time of challenge, there are joys in life. We pray and give thanksgiving for Bill's sister Jerry, now in remission, for Joe's great niece Ashley, who is now cancer-free. We pray for Linda's co-worker, now finished with treatments and doing well. And we give thanks that Sarah's surgery this week has gone well and that all is good. Lord God, all of these things we lift up to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we come to you, we should say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. we get close to the end of the service, let's listen again to a little music of uplift, because we need that uplift in this time. We're going to listen to another good sister, this being Sister Rosetta Tharp. Rosetta singing for us the very appropriately titled Strange Things Happening Every Day. Let's listen to Sister Rosetta as she sings that out for us.
All we hear church people say, they are in holy way. There are strange things happening every day. On that last red judgment day, when they drive them all away, there are strange things happening every day. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening every day. If you want to view the crime, you must learn.
Rosetta Tharp, bringing us to the conclusion of this worship with Strange Things Happening Every Day. Howdy, folks. It's been a joy to be together in this time. And now as we get ready to move into this holiest of holy weeks, let's remember to carry that feeling and that purpose and that sense of victory that Jesus brought. Not victory based on power or the way that war shapes our heart, but a victory that is more grounded in his peace, his grace, his mercy, and his love. Let's try to bear that with us in this challenging time. So now, go out into the world in peace. Return no one evil for evil, but instead show grace, mercy, love, and forbearance to all around you. Carry that with you on all of your journey. And may that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you.